Hey guys, this is your host, Michael Terrazas. Thank you for listening to the Underdog Sports Podcast. If you are a Colts fan, be sure to subscribe to my podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. My podcast is available on all platforms. Also, follow me on Twitter at Underdog Sports4, Facebook Underdog Sports Podcast. I hope you guys have a great day. Stay blessed and go Colts. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to another edition of the Underdog Sports Podcast. We've been gone for a little bit. I've been over at the Colts Brawl with Cody, but now I'm back with a special guest today. My guest today is going to be Colts defensive end entering his second year in the league, Ben Banigou. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great. It's a good morning in Dallas, Texas right now.
Awesome, man. Awesome. You know, there's a lot of good things, you know, going on with the Colts right now. You know, y'all just got, you know, some new additions. We'll get into that a little later. But, you know, to start this off, all this craziness is going on. All this craziness. Yeah. And my first question is going to be, you know, how are you doing during this quarantine, during this time?
Yeah, during the this quarantine, I think just trying to do everything right, trying to stay on the good hygiene habits that, you know, I think that we should have already had before this thing, you know. So just trying to stay up on those, trying to, you know, talk to my family, help them in any way I can, and still got to get my workouts in. So just been working from home and running out in parks and stuff, trying to, you know, do everything I can to stay ready. You know, it's definitely a difficult time. It's a different time for a lot of people. So I think it's more about mindset. So my mindset, my outlook on it's been good. I know it's something that we got to deal with, but, you know, you can never go wrong with a good mindset. So just trying to attack it every day with the right train of thought, you know.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. That's good stuff because, you know, during this time, there's a lot of people who are into fitness, and sometimes, you know, when all these gyms are closing, you know, a lot of people are trying to find answers to, you know, their fitness stuff. So, what are you doing in terms of taking care of your body? Like, what does I wouldn't say like an average NFL player. What does this time look like for an Indianapolis Colt when it comes to working out? What are you doing, your specialty? What does all that look like?
Well, I guess like my day, my routine is different in the off season, whereas during the season, it's kind of set. You know, like say it's a regular day during the season. I wake up around like 6 o'clock, maybe. 6:30, and then I'm at the facility by 7, and we have meetings, practice, lift if you need one. We usually have 2 or 3 lifts throughout the week, and you know, it's kind of like a set routine during the year, but during the off season, it's kind of just on you. You kind of have to like make sure you're knocking out everything that you need to do. So I usually try and stick to a good routine. Wake up around like 7 or 8 o'clock. I usually work out later in the day. And my workouts usually differ from doing like single leg stuff to ISO stuff, just to make sure I get those muscles firing the right way. And then obviously I get into my lifting and running and like my pass rush stuff. So, I would say that my day is usually taken up from 8 o'clock to about 2 or 3, and then after that I'm done. I can kind of do my own thing, hang out with family, and just, you know, like right now you can't really do much, so just hanging out with family and making sure I stay safe.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, family time, that's the biggest thing when it comes to all this, you know. Just don't forget about who your family is, man. And that's like, that's my word to anyone listening to this right now. Yeah. And just family time, family time, family time. Because especially for an NFL player, y'all are always busy, are always slammed. Yeah. Other people have busy schedules, busy jobs, other hobbies. So it's definitely important to be with family. And yeah. a couple of other questions. You know, are you much of a gamer?
I used to be. I do play my fair share of games. Obviously, sports games. Play a little bit of Call of Duty, although I would say that I wouldn't help anyone being on their team. and then I play Gears of War on Xbox. And then outside of that, I kind of was off sticks for a little bit. So I haven't really been, playing games and like I used to, but I still, play from time to time.
Awesome, awesome. Any television series that you're getting into?
Oh yeah. So I just finished the Ozarks. they just recently came out with that. Since you don't have a lot to do, you can get back on your games and on your shows and stuff. But yeah, Ozarks was good. I finished that. I'm waiting for the next season to drop. It ended crazy, so I was like, man. My girlfriend, she told me I need to start watching Money Heist, so I'm on that. I'm kind of into like my anime series, so I watch a little bit of that too. Gonna try and finish Dragon Ball Super. I haven't really got around to it just because I've been a little busy. But, yeah, man, I'm into my shows. I'm into my anime. I'm into cartoons, games. So just trying to knock them all out now while I can before Coach Blues has us up at the facility all day during the season.
Yeah, man. Those television series, man, if you're watching them all day, you're probably going to run out sooner or later. I'm just now getting my girlfriend into The Walking Dead in season one, and we're already on season 10.
Yeah, Walking Dead will definitely see it. Sounds the same way for me for Game of Thrones. I was watching that. I think going into my junior year, I started it because a couple older guys that played at TCU were like trying to get me on it. I was like, nah, it's too many seasons. I ended up starting it. Man, I binge watched it all through the season, and like the whole time they were talking about season 8. And I ended up watching all the seasons. I was just kind of waiting for season 8 till I caught up all the way. But, shows are addicting, man. Once you start watching a good one, man, you could be on there for hours and hours and hours.
Oh, dude, I agree with you. Just like when you said the Money Heist, dude, that's like my behind The Walking Dead. That's one of my all-time favorite shows, and I just finished part 4 that just came out on the 3rd.
You can't tell me any of the good stuff that happens though.
Oh no, I'm not gonna do that. I wouldn't do you like that. Yeah. Now, but yeah. I will say I finished 8 episodes in 2 nights.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm usually 2 or 3 episodes, because I mean I could watch more, but I got to get my sleep schedule right. And if I watch it all one day, I'm going to be stuck scratching my head again. Because, I mean, that's how I was with, Breaking Bad. I that was, like, my first show that I, like, actually binge-watched. And ever since then, it's been like, man, like, when you watch a really good show and you're really invested, you're like, man, I can't watch anything else anymore, man. That show was so good, I can't watch nothing. So... that's how I am. So, like, I try and break it up into bits and pieces so I can kind of stretch out the series.
Yeah, man, that's good stuff. Good stuff right there from Ben Bandigu, guys. Switching gears a little bit, talking into football terms. At this time of the year, you were getting ready for the draft. You were about 2 weeks or 3 weeks out by this time. What is it like? I know it's different now with all this COVID-19 stuff, but in general, I guess you could say nerves and everything. What is it like for a player heading into a draft, probably the biggest day of their life. What does it look like? What is the feeling?
I would say, first and foremost, I think everyone's experience is different. So I wouldn't want to speak for everybody, but my experience, those couple weeks and actually the days leading up to it, I just tried to not really think about it as much. I knew wherever I was going to go was wherever I was going to go. Like, you can't really determine where or when you go. You just have to kind of wait. So I just kind of try to stay in my, daily habits. I try to do everything that I normally do. I try not to ponder on the situation for too much. I think it was, I think that helped me a lot because it was stressful because you're so worried about doing meetings. You're worried about, you know, the coach coming into your school, working you out, watching film. Like you're trying to sell yourself to, you know, a business or an organization, and you want to put your top quality stuff out there. So I think that in itself is stressful, but leading up to the draft, I think that, you know, I just kind of did my own thing. I was just trying to make sure I wasn't too rattled. I worked out, did some pass rush stuff the day of the draft, so I wouldn't even be worried about it. I knew I wasn't going to be a first day guy. I had the hopes to. I knew I was going to be late first or like early second. So I was like, I might as well just work out and not even worry about it. So my couple weeks and my days leading up were pretty easy going, but I think that was a way to just kind of knock off the stress, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely. That's good stuff right there. I mean, speaking of the late first round, what was your reaction to your college teammate, LJ Collier, being selected in the first round?
Oh, man, I was live. You know, I was happy for him. LJ, he's been through a lot. And watching him grow from whenever I first came in, I see I transferred to TCU. And he was one of the first people I actually met. And, you know, he just has an infectious personality. He's great with people. He's a good person. So to see him go from where he was to how it kind of ended up for him in the first round and then Seattle, like, I was really happy for him, of course. You know, he wants to prove himself at this level, and, you know, I want to do the same. Everyone wants to prove themselves. So I know he's consistently working, and I think that the Seahawks have a lot of good years ahead of them. I know sometimes you want the cake to be made in 5 minutes, but, you know, sometimes that's not how it works. So I'm excited for him, and I'm excited for, you know, what he's going to do this year. And, you know, it's a pretty cool experience watching him get that call. And, you know, I mean, it's just, there's nothing else like getting that call, man. It's kind of hard to explain. It's a good feeling though.
Definitely, dude, man. I mean, it's been a long, long journey because, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I'm pretty sure my followers know. I'm very passionate about my football. I love my Indianapolis Colts, and believe it or not, I am a diehard TCU Horned Frog fan. So it is exciting. It is exciting to have you on the show. When it came to LJ, I mean, the Colts had just traded out of the 26th pick, and I just got out of work, and I'm like, okay, well, that's it for tonight. And then I get home, you know, change, take a shower, stuff like that. And then I look at my phone and it says LJ Collier was selected 31st overall. I was like, are you kidding me right now? Dude, like, that's like you, man. I was jumping. I was like, let's go, LJ. Because I remember, I believe he wasn't a starter until his senior year. And just to see how he matured, how he grew. You know, I wasn't beside him day in and day out like you were, but you could see it on the field, in interviews. You know, it was just a proud moment for TCU fans, TCU Nation all over. And, man, speaking of TCU, man, I got to ask, you know, being at TCU, playing under Coach Patterson, your position coach, Zarnell Finch, Playing under Coach Patterson and Zarnell Finch, what were the biggest football lessons you learned under those guys?
So my coach is actually Coach Sharp. He was a DN's coach. Coach Cozy was also my coach too. I kind of joke with him. He coached the interior guys, so guys like Big Ross and Corey, guys that weigh about 50 pounds more than me. I got always joking like, hey man, if you ever need me in three technique, I got you. And it's funny because sure enough, the Senior Bowl and for the Colts, I did a little bit of three technique during the season, but I never did three technique at TCU. So last time he saw me, he was like, yeah, like he was just joking. He was like, yeah, be careful what you wish for. I see you're playing a little three technique this year. So it's just kind of funny. It's one of those like in-house things that you kind of laugh at. But Coach Sharp, Coach Z, and Coach Patterson, those guys did a great job with maturing not only me, but all the guys in that D-line room. I think outside of football, they really taught us how to be leaders, how to be men, and how to be able to work in groups and with a team. Because I feel like that in itself, people say that a lot and it sounds good, but when it really gets down to it, we live in a selfish world. We live in a world where people kind of look out for themselves. And I mean, it's not a bad thing. That's kind of how society is, you know, kind of raised us to kind of, you know, make sure that we're good before someone else is good, which, I mean, in a lot of cases, it's true, like what you should do. But I think a lot of people miss the ball on that stuff. And I think football is a great way to teach you selflessness, teach you how to be a leader, how to be a good man, a good husband, a good father when it comes to that point. I think football teaches you a lot of those things, but I think the Coach P and Coach Z and Coach Sharp, they did an exceptional job with, you know, instilling that in us and not only making us great players, but making us great people off the field. So I think that's one thing that I really appreciate from them. And, you know, I think with drive and everything, you can always be a great football player, but you can't substitute a great football player for a good person. So.
Definitely, man. That's some good words right there, man. You know, some people seem to, I guess you could say, they don't look at that side of football because, you know, they turn the TV on and they see a sport. What they don't see is the relationship being built in the locker room, in the team meetings, when you're just working out freely together or on the practice field. You know, those bumps, those bruises, those frustrations, those arguments, and those good times, man. Those teach you a lot of things.
They all mean something, too.
Yeah, man. They all mean something. They all are worth something. And that's just something you just can't buy. You just can't. You know, it's all about building relationships, stuff like that, man. I mean, I love it. I love it. I can talk Colts and Horned Frogs all day. You know, I'm just praying and hoping that Ross Blacklock falls to – the Colts at 34. I'm just hoping and praying.
I don't know. I think Ross might end up as the top 20 pick. I don't know if Indy will get a chance to grab him. The closer and closer it gets, the more and more it's looking like Ross is going to go top 20. I hope he does. I hope it's true. So. I certainly hope that we get him. You know, personally, I want to play with my buddy, but not at the expense of losing money, because like we all want to get drafted as high as possible, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, man.
Yeah. Ross is a great guy. It would be awesome to get a chance to play with him.
I met Ross. I believe it was 2017. Black Friday game against Baylor, and it was a rugged start to the game, but when the second half came and everything after that huge melee on the field, you know, y'all took care of business.
yeah, Not one of our proudest moments is people, but I mean, like, it's your brother, man. Like, you got to stick up for your brother. So, I mean, like, I wouldn't want to say it's football. I don't want to condone that kind of stuff. But, you know, like, every so often, you got to let them know, you know, who's the big brother and who's the little brother. So, the Bears know. The Bears know.
Oh yeah, the Bears know, man. Come on now. I mean, and it's hard because my girlfriend's a Baylor Bears, so it's like when it comes game day, this relationship's out the window.
Yeah, for real.
So, staying one more question over TCU.
All right.
How proud are you of these guys? You know, guys that are going into the draft, guys like Ross Blacklock, Jeff Gladney, Jalen Reagor, you know, and guys of the past. You know, last year, Ty Summers went to the Green Bay Packers. How proud are you of this program, how it's been built, the talent they're bringing in, and the talent that they're distributing out? What do you have to say about Coach Patterson, that program, you know, Athletic Director Jeremiah Donati? What do you have to say about that program and their tremendous job of building men and good players?
I certainly think that the pride factor comes from, you know, the people that work in TCU. So from the AD to the compliance to our coaches, you know, a lot of these guys actually played under Coach Patterson or played for TCU. I know Coach Sharp played in the 80s back in the Flying T days, and then Coach Z was in the 2000s. Coach Mawkins, the cornerbacks coach, played in the 2000s with Coach Z. They were teammates. So, like, so you have a lot of tradition. You have a lot of pride within the program already. You have a lot of people that played for the university, so it's easy to, you know, play hard, and it's easy to lay everything out on the line because, you know, you're playing for something bigger than you. And I think my proudest moments are seeing when my teammates do well, like Ty and LJ getting drafted. You know, those are my guys. You know, I was just recently in Ty's wedding. He got married about a month ago to his now wife, Sydney. But you know, stuff like that, stuff that I was saying earlier in the conversation about, you know, people and having relationships and knowing someone outside of football. I think that's super huge, and I think that's where the like the proud moments come from, because you know these people not only like from their number and their stats, but also from an individual standpoint. So that's where the pride comes from. And for younger guys, I'm watching those guys grow, like Jeff, Ross. Those are my little brothers. I mean, they wouldn't like if I called him my little brother, because Ross is actually bigger than me, believe it or not. And Jeff, you know, he's same way too. So, but I've watched those guys grow from freshmen all the way to juniors and seniors, and watch them just mature and you know, execute and grow as football players. So that's where my proud moments come from for those guys too.
Awesome. Good stuff. Good stuff. Love TCU talk, guys. Ben Banigou with us here, joining us on the Underdog Sports Podcast. Time to get into a little Colts football now. You know, the season didn't really exactly end the way any of us wanted it to. You know, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Ben, but I have
No,
a
it's okay.
stat here.
Yeah, I was gonna say that the season didn't end good for 30 other teams, us being a 31st team. So,
I like it. I
yeah.
like it. I like it. So, y'all and 30 other teams did not end the season that y'all really wanted it to. I have a stat here to share with you. You know, y'all started out 5-2, and when it came to the fourth quarter, y'all were outscoring opponents 41 to 20. And that even included the world champions, Kansas City Chiefs. And that was a great defensive effort there, a great defensive effort. Then in the second half, we fell to 4-7. And in the fourth quarter, we were outscored 47 to 70. Now, y'all did face some pretty high-powered offenses, you know, in Tampa Bay, New Orleans. We know what Drew Brees and Sean Payton represent. What lessons can y'all as a defense take away from the end of the season moving forward to improve and make sure that doesn't happen again?
I guess I would say just we know who we are. We know our strengths. We know our weaknesses. I think the offseason is a great time to improve on your strengths and focus on your weaknesses and improve on those too. I think that we had a young team this past year. I mean, I think outside of maybe four or five guys, most of our team is under the age of 29, 28. So we have a young team. I think that this upcoming year is going to be a lot different. I think that we have guys like Darius, Kenny, Justin, DeForest. He just came in not too long ago. And I'm naming guys on the defensive side of the ball because that's really where I am. But I know Phillip's going to come in, and he is going to be a great leader. He's been a great leader for, you know, the last couple of decades now. So there's a lot of pieces that are getting put into place and a lot of guys that are getting older. And they're getting more savvy with the game, including myself. So I know last year was a down year. I know that we started off hot and we kind of dwindled towards the end, but that was 2019, I guess. This is 2020. I know 2020 hasn't started off good as a year, but I do know that for us in our year during the season, we have high hopes. So you know, I know what happened last year, but I'm a crumple up the paper and move on kind of guy. So I'm looking at this year, and I'm looking at the great players that we have. I'm looking at the great locker room that we have, and it's exciting. So I think my biggest thing is I just want to contribute more to the team this year. I want to earn a starting spot. I want to be a double number sack guy. I want to do a lot of things. But I think at first it starts with you. So just trying to make sure that I make sure that my house is clean, everything's right, and so I can get into the season and help the team win.
Good stuff, man. Whew, man, yeah, that end of the season, it was a little frustrating. I couldn't imagine what it was like for you guys, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. That's why, you know, like, I mean, I'll speak on it, but, you know, I know no one wants to relive that, you know, that part of the year. So just, you know, for people that are optimistic like me, you know, I think that realistic too. When you break it down, you know, we have a young team, and you saw what we were able to do at times during the year with guys that are fresh out of college, maybe two or three years in the league. So you know, it was tough, but at the same time, you see the positives in, you know, certain things, so you can build on it. And I think that's really what we're planning on doing this year. We're trying to build, we're trying to be a contender, and we're trying to prove to everyone that we're worth every accolade that we get.
And you mentioned it a couple of minutes ago, Ben, you wanted to contribute more and everything. Right now, it looks like there's an open spot at, I believe, the weak side defensive end spot. Mm-hmm. With, you know, we don't know if Jabal Sheard's going to come back, but that's a conversation for another day. It looks to be wide open.
Oh, yeah.
So what, there is an open spot. What are you doing to prepare yourself for a big offseason to go into training camp and earn that defensive spot?
Yeah, I think it's a little tricky because sometimes you think, all right, I just got to put in the work, I got to do all this stuff. And, like, you realize that a little bit of it, too, is knowing your body, knowing when to rest, knowing when to go. So you don't want to overkill. And by the time you get to money-making time, you don't have any funds. You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure that my body's right. I want to make sure I come into camp healthy. I work with Rob with my pass rush stuff, trying to work with some guys out here, especially once this stuff clears up, then, you know, we can kind of get into a more stable schedule. But I'm trying to do everything I can to be ready for camp, because I think once the ball turns over and once you start playing football, it's a game where you got to play hurt. It's a game where you got to have a lot of heart. So there's technique, there's strength, and all that stuff involved. But at the end of the day, whoever wants that spot is going to go get it. So I think that's the kind of the mindset like you have to like attack in a spot that's open. So I know that Teray is going to be thinking about it too. I know he has the same mindset. I know I do. I know Tyquan does. Nico, Mo, we're all going to try our hardest to do what we can do to help the team win. And if that's me starting, if it's someone else starting, you know, I don't know. I don't make that decision. But I do know that we're all going to put forth our best effort to do what we can do to help the team.
Go get it, Ben. Go get it.
Yeah.
You're from TCU. I'm going for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love Toure. I love them guys. I love Al-Kadhim Muhammad. I love Kamoko Toure. But go get it. Go get it.
Hey, man, you know I will.
Man, come on. I want to see you in the Pro Bowl. I want to see, you know. Man, I just have a love for my TCU guys, man. I just do. I can't preach that enough.
Hey, man, whenever I make the Pro Bowl in a couple of years or this year, you know, we can have another podcast and we can talk about the experiences up there, because I haven't asked Darius about it or a Q, but or Jack for that matter, but I imagine their experience is fun, so I'm trying to make some memories too. So hopefully this time next year, a little earlier, we can have our Pro Bowl talk.
Definitely, man. Definitely. I'm already, you know, writing the notes down for that show, man. I'm already doing it. So when it comes to this defense, man, Chris Ballard has an eye for talent. He's been noted as one of the best in the business. And that is a great scouting staff they have, first off, in Indianapolis. That is a great staff. Morocco Brown, Ed Dodds, Chris Ballard, they're all great. What is your reactions? What are your thoughts on the additions of Xavier Rhodes in the secondary and Big Boy Buckner getting on the defensive line? What are your thoughts on that?
I guess I'll touch on Xavier first because he's DB and their worlds are a little different than ours. But I did watch a little bit of the Vikings this past year. I know the Vikings struggled a little bit, even though that they made the playoffs and everything. But they had a little bit of struggles. So I think for Xavier, I think he's going to come in hungry, ready to prove that he's still a top-tier corner in the league. In my opinion, he's top five, top five. So I think that like a new start under a new coach with young guys that want to learn, that want to pick his brain, that want to get better, and I feel like he's one of those guys that makes everyone else around him better. I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. I know he's going to make our corners that much better. I know he's going to bring in great competition to the room. And as far as Forrest Buckner, I think having him in a three technique, it's definitely going to change the whole landscape of the D-line, because we're also a young group too. I mean, Justin, he's the only guy that's really like, you know, like a seasoned vet. I call him old school. But besides him, we didn't really have anyone. DeForest is young too, but he strikes me as a guy that, you know, is wise beyond his years. So I think having him in the D line room is going to breed a lot of competition. I feel like it's going to get a lot of people going, and I think it's going to bring a lot of attention to the Colts. I think it's going to bring in good press. I think it's going to bring in the right people. I think it's going to attract a lot of good people to our team, and Ballard and those guys, obviously, like, they know what they're doing. That's why they brought these guys in. So I'm just excited to see where it goes from here.
Awesome, awesome, man. We're all excited, you know, for DeForest Buckner. You know, we were all thinking, you know, at number 13, do we take a wide receiver? Do we take a potential tackle? Do we take a Javon Kinlaw? Do we take a quarterback? And this whole time, they were looking at a trade from around the Super Bowl time to when they made the trade. And that came from Ian Rappaport himself. And I'm just sitting there like, man. And Chris Ballard tells us what he's going to do. You know, he said, I believe, and I quote, to tell them that there won't be turnover would be dishonest with them. And he certainly come with turnover. So DeForest Buckner coming in is big. You know, that's going to free guys like you, Justin Houston, Danico Autry, Kamoko Touré. That's going to free you guys up, because I believe he's going to be demanding double teams. I mean, I said this in a podcast with Cody. I can sit down with an offensive coordinator and say DeForest Buckner is playing in the three technique and Darius Leonard is following right behind him. So that's all you need to know about the defense. Game plan. That's all you need to know. And on that, what are your expectations for this defense? You know, the draft is still here. We think it's going to be an offensive heavy draft, but there is, you know, always a chance with Ballard that he adds defensive players. What are your expectations for this defense in 2020?
I think we all expect to be the best defense in the league. I think we have the talent. I think we have the team factor. I think we have the camaraderie to do all those things. We definitely have the talent, but I think it goes a lot more than that. So, and it starts off with our DC. I think Coach Eberflus puts us in a great spot. I think that he coaches us right, and he does everything that he needs to do. So I know just as well as anyone else in the D line room and in the defensive room that we think that we're a top five defense. We think that we can be the best defense. But the NFL, I mean, football is football. Every year is a new year, and you always have to prove yourself. No one's eating off of last year's plate. So
what are your goals, your individual goals for 2020?
My individual goals, I would say first and foremost, just being a dependable guy, being a guy that my teammates, my coaches can count on, that they can look at me and see a leader, see someone that they can go to in times of need. When the play needs to be made, I can be that guy to make the play. So I just want to build confidence in my team and in my coaches, and then from there on, just, you know, I think the rest will kind of take care of itself. I think everyone wants to win a Super Bowl. I think everyone wants to be an All-Pro or a Pro Bowler or a 10-sack guy, 10-plus sack guy, or a 100-tackle guy, or a disruptor. I think everyone wants to do all those things. So I think it would be a disservice for me to talk to you and tell you about everything I want to do, because, of course, you want to do that stuff. But I think, you know, I just want to be the best player I can be, so I can help this team out. I want to contribute to a winning season. I want to contribute to Phillip Rivers getting the chance to hold up a Super Bowl title after 20 years of playing in the league. You know, I want to do all those things before I talk about winning or, like, getting a Pro Bowl or All-Pro or 10 sacks or whatever, signing a big contract. If that makes sense. Because I could tell you I want to do all those stuff, and you'd be like, yeah, it's true. I'd want to do it too. But outside of those things, though, that's the main thing I want to do. I want to help contribute to my team, because I know we're going to have a really good team. So
I sure hope we're going to have a really good team. I can't wait to buy some tickets to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So it's not a secret that the Colts have one of the best offensive lines in the league. You know, left to right, Anthony Costanzo, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Mark Glowinski, and right tackle, Braden Smith. You are a defensive end, so you see Anthony Costanzo and Braden Smith more than you probably would Quentin Nelson and Mark Glowinski. Now, my first question is, what is it like going up against, if at all, if you do, going up against Quentin Nelson?
I think all the linemen are great practice players. I would say that going up against Q, it's cool because he's a year older than me, so I can kind of just talk about how his rookie season was. Not necessarily like on the field stuff, just off the field, what kind of things to look out for. And then on the field in like football, if I do a pass rush move or I make a move, I ask him like how to look to his point of view. He's a great practice player. He's not going to do the kill shots like he did to Melvin Ingram and like some of the other guys during the year, which is good because he's my teammate. I hope he doesn't do that stuff. But I guess I would say the hardest person to rush against would be Glow, because he's so heavy-handed. His arms are, or his hands are so strong. So it'd be different if I was a 6'4", 300 kind of guy, but I'm rocking at 240, 250. So when you get into the guards and the centers, it's a little different. It's actually a little harder for me because everything happens a lot faster. But, yeah, I think Glow, he has the best hands, like as far as getting a grip on you. So like every time I look at Glow, I'm like, man, I got to go through this again. And it's usually about three times throughout the week. I already told him whenever I was in Indy a couple weeks ago or like a month ago, that I didn't look forward to going against him during practice.
That's interesting, man. That's interesting. People really don't, I guess you could say, you know, from what I get on Twitter and everything, people don't think too highly of Mark Glowinski. But man, to hear he's strong, that's good. That's a great thing to know, to talk about.
Yeah.
And focusing on Braden Smith and Anthony Costanzo, because you'll face the tackles more so than anyone else. How does playing against those two guys, because Anthony Costanzo, I mean, he needs no introduction. He's Anthony Costanzo. Braden Smith, I mean, no one thought he would be a right tackle, but he came in and started, and he's done a pretty good job. How does playing against those two guys make you better and prepare you for what you're going to see in the season?
I think it helps a lot because I know that at least on the left side, their left, my right, but on the left tackle side, Costanzo, I know I'm not going to go against a better technical sound tackle out there. And I play mainly on the left, the offense is right, so against Braden a lot. And, you know, he's extremely athletic for, you know, when I first saw him, I was like, this guy, like he's a tackle, so he's kind of athletic, he's in the league, yeah, I guess. But once I saw him start moving, I was like, whoa, he's deceptively athletic. He has long limbs, so he does a lot more than what you would expect. And both those guys are great practice players. They always give me feedback every time I do a move. Or I ask them like what they thought of something, or if they're gonna watch film, look back on how I look, and they'll do those things because I mean they're trying to get better too. So it's kind of cool to get that from a vet that's been doing it for about a decade, and a guy that just got into the league that's been doing it at a high level. So I love going against those guys. I feel like they make me better.
That's good, man. That's good. I mean, those two tackles, man. I mean, going against good tackles will always be good because competition against competition just makes you better. That's just how it is. And what about adding more moves to your arsenal? We all know the great Robert Mathis, a Super Bowl champion, a future Hall of Famer. How is it working with him? And is he trying to get you, if you haven't gotten it already, that patented spin move down?
I think every rusher is like their own rusher. So some people are great with spin, some people aren't. Me personally, I like think I'm pretty great with it. I just got to keep working on it. I do know, and Robert has told me this, and a lot of people have told me, you don't want to be a Swiss Army knife. You don't want to have all these different gadgets, all these different moves, and be good or okay at a lot of moves, but not be great at one or two moves. So for me, my biggest thing, I was just, and like I talked to Ballard about it because he felt the same way, and Rob, just working on one or two moves and being really, really great in them. And the rest of pass rush outside of your one or two go-to moves, it's all about hustle and being football savvy. So very rarely, I mean, I know you watch a lot of football, and a lot of people do, but very rarely do you see guys just winning off the line of scrimmage, just blowing by a guy and getting a sack. It usually happens like once every now and then. So a lot of pass rush is hand fighting. So just trying to hone in on my hand fighting and trying to hone in on one or two really good moves. And Rob has been helping me with that. And that's kind of where we're going this year.
All right. All right. Good stuff from Ben Banigou here on the Underdog Sports Podcast. Now, my last question, I just thought of another one. Do you think the Colts have the best linebacker core in the league? Because you have Darius Leonard, the All-Pro. I mean, we know what he represents. Then you have a guy who's highly thought of in Colts Nation, Bobby Okereke, who did make some pretty good plays last year. But here's another guy in Anthony Walker, a guy who I've even gone on the show and said I think he's the most underrated linebacker in the league, because what he does on the field is just – it's noticeable when he comes off the field or when he misses a game. It's just noticeable. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this linebacker core? Because they're playing right behind you guys. They are playing right behind you. Y'all take the offensive linemen out, and they take care of the running backs, the quarterbacks, unless y'all just completely bulldoze your guy out the way and make a great play on those guys. What are your thoughts on the linebacking core in Indy?
You know, I think that Ballard and Flus brought in great guys. I think they drafted well. As far as 54 now, and no more 50, 54 and 53, those two guys, I might say that, you know, they're the best tandem in the league, I think, in my personal opinion. Now, I watch film and I do football for a living. So if someone else has a different opinion, that's cool. Everyone else is entitled to their opinion. But my opinion, I'm going with 54 and 53. I think that they're great players. They're great leaders. I think Anthony Walker has definitely slept on AWOC. He is a big leader for us. I think this year people will see him more as a dominant player. I want to say it's back-to-back years he's had 100 tackles. I'm not sure. I need to go back and look at that again, but I'm pretty sure it's 100 tackles back-to-back years. That guy flies with the ball, he makes plays, and he stays healthy. And then Darius, you know, I don't really have to talk about him. Everyone already knows. But, I think a lot of people will start waking up and seeing how great of a player he is. And I think the sky's the limit for AWOC.
I think the sky's the limit for this defense next year, because when I just look at it, I'm looking at this roster, and then I'm going on the All-22, looking at this film and everything. I see a lot of potential, man. I see a lot of it. And you talked about it. Y'all are so young. I mean, the majority of the defense is 24, 25, 26 years old. I mean, you look in the secondary, Kari Willis, man, he exploded onto the scene. He was making plays. Malik Hooker, he doesn't allow anything big. Rocky Sin, I'm hoping he makes a big jump, because he went against a lot of good receivers last year. You know, people talk down on Rock, and my response is like, you got to look at the wide receivers this rookie went against. I mean, you're looking at Courtland
And I will say, a lot of people take bad advice and listen to, I wouldn't say bad takes, it's everyone's opinion, but one thing I learned from a very early age, you would never take advice from somebody that you wouldn't want to trade places with. And I think Rock is the same way too. I know a lot of people had a lot of tough stuff to say about Rock, but, you know, playing the corner position, I think, is the second hardest spot. The first, skill-wise, like it takes skill to play corner. I think it's the hardest spot to play. And when you're going up against the number one wide receiver every day, it's like going up against, you know, LeBron or Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or, you know, like the best player in the league every single week, you know? So yeah. So you can have your good games, you can have your bad games. I mean, I think Rock was only, what, 23 this year? I mean, we're young, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think people kind of put too much emphasis on, you know, the first couple games, the first year. Just, you know, just sit back, watch someone grow, watch someone become somebody before you label them as such. And I just feel like, you know, sometimes people kind of get too quick to jump the gun, too quick to jump the, you know, it's just like football is just like, you know, like any other job. When you start working, you don't expect to win employee of the year, you know, your first year. I mean, everyone goes in, you know, working hard towards that, but they only give out one. There's not 23 employee of the years. So I think Rock, you know, he learned a lot from this past year. So did I. And our biggest things are just to improve on him and to help the team win. I know Rock's been busting his ass off and he's been working really hard, so I'm not too worried about him. He's a great person off the field, and I think a lot of people will start falling in love with him. If they already haven't, I think that they will this year.
And yeah, man.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, what were you saying?
No, I was just saying, like, I don't know what people have said about him, because I'm not really into – like looking at media and stuff, but I do know that that guy busts his ass every day. So I would want someone like that, you know, being my teammate.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Because I mean, I put out there, you know, I won't quote things, but people just talk down on him. Just like, man, you forget he played 1 year of Division I football, and then if you go back and look at the film, which actually tells you a lot about a player, you mm-hmm. see that he went up against some dogs this year. I mean, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, DeAndre Hopkins twice a year. I mean, you just look at the wide receivers they went against, man. I think he held his own pretty good, not to mention Marvell Tell. He showed some flashes. One more question, and this pertains to the quarterback position. Now, I'm not asking you to pick who's going to win the starting job. I'm not going to do any of that. I won't put you on the spot like that. But I'm the kind to think of the game as competitive. I want to see fight someone. I want to see competitiveness. Frank Wright came out and said, you know, Jacoby Brissett wasn't happy about the signing of Phillip Rivers. I think anyone who's competitive would say that. And I expect JB, you know, I expect him to just, if he's not already, working his ass off right now, you know, diving deep into film, looking at what he didn't do well, correcting mistakes, maybe even getting better at things he did well. How eager do you expect Jacoby Brissett to come into training camp ready to play ball and improve on past mistakes?
You know, I expect him to be probably the second most eager person in the room to start. I think I'll be the first, but I think that, you know, he'll be ready to go. I think he wants to prove a lot of people wrong. I think he wants to also prove a lot of people right. And I just, you know, I just want him to come out with the same energy that I'm going to have coming out. And I know he will, but I just want him to be able to be ready, be in the right mindset. And I want the same for our new quarterback, Phillip. I want Philip Rivers to come in with that same energy, that like that fiery, competitive nature that we got to see firsthand week one this past year, and you know what he's been like for the last 20 years. You know, I think we're all excited for that. I think we're all excited for competition. I think the best thing that we could have done is kind of spark up that competition in the quarterback room, because I think with all the stuff that happened with Andrew Luck and all that stuff last year, I think coming into this season, it's like a different thing. You know, we have two guys that are good players in the league that are fighting for a starting spot, and it's at the most important spot on the field. And you have all these other people and all these other spots that are doing the same. So, yeah, I know I'm beating this competition thing down like a dead horse, but that's really what it's going to be. It's going to be a competition every day this year, because we have a lot of guys, old and young, that are fighting for starting spots, that are trying to make a name for themselves, or trying to, you know, win a ring, or, you know, have a lasting legacy in the league. So there's a lot of stuff up for the taking this year. And I know Jacoby sees it. I know I see it. I know a lot of people on the team see it. And we all just want to go out and grab it.
Definitely. Definitely. Chris Ballard continuously preaches competition. He wants competition in training camp. I mean, you see it in the cornerback room. Xavier Rhodes, TJ Carey. This is a big year for Quincy Wilson. You got Marvell Tell, Kenny Moore, and who knows who else Ballard might just draft. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't. So that'll take care of like the football questions. Just a couple of, you know, like fun, you know, fun questions. What is the, where is the first place you're going to go once everything back opens back up?
First place I'm going to go when everything opens back up, Zionsville, Indiana. I'm going to head back to Indianapolis. I'm going to start working with Rob again. Man, they kicked me out of Indianapolis because everything got shut down. They told me I had to go home. So I'm eager to get back to my apartment in Indy, and hopefully all the stuff will die down. They can start back up sports, and hopefully I can watch a couple good Pacer games or something, or you know, just, you know, wishful thinking. But I'm going back to Indy to, you know, continue my work with Rob and, you know, all that fun stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Who is your favorite basketball team?
Oh, you know, I got to say Dallas Mavs. I know I'm going to hurt a lot of people's feelings.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
But, you know, my boy Luka, you know, he's been playing out of his mind. That guy's different. So, and, you know, I got a chance to watch the Mavs growing up from when I was a little kid until now, and they've had a lot of ups and downs. They've won a ring. So, you know, I have that under my sleeve if I ever try and get an argument or brag or something like that. But I love my Mavs, man.
Definitely, man. A big Mavericks fan. My dad always tells me, you know, I'm a Mavericks fan, a TCU Horned Frog fan. I don't care for baseball, but if I did, I'll go with the Rangers. And see, he's a big Cowboy fan. My whole family is a huge Cowboy fan. My brother is a Saints fan. But me, my dad always tells me, brother, you live in Texas. How the heck did you become a Colts fan?
Yeah.
I'm just like, I turned the TV on one day and I became a fan.
As a little kid, my favorite teams, of course, were the Cowboys, the Mavs, Rangers, all Texas teams. Stars are my favorite team. I love hockey. I wish the Colts or in Indiana had a hockey team. So, but they don't, which kind of sucks. But big Dallas guy. And my favorite college football team growing up, it was the Michigan Wolverines. And everyone used to give me crap about it. Like, why are you a Michigan Wolverine fan? Like, what's up? You know, like, I love Chad Henning. I love Michael Hart, Avant, Woody. Like those guys, like, I love watching them play. I don't know why. I was a little kid. I was just captivated by the amazing blue, I guess. But Everyone's like, why aren't you a Longhorns fan? Man, I hate the Longhorns. I've always hated the Longhorns. When I played at TCU, I always joke with Charles. Like, I always tell him, like, hey, man, like, every year I couldn't wait to play you guys. Like, that was my Super Bowl. But for some reason, I wasn't a Longhorn guy. I didn't like him. I liked Vince Young, but I didn't like the Longhorns for some reason. So I love my hometown teams, but just the only college team that I rock with are the Horned Frogs. I feel like everyone knows that. But was never a big UT guy.
Yeah, I'll pass on the Longhorns too. And I believe you right there when you say the Longhorns were your Super Bowl, because, man, y'all were kicking their behind for like 4 years straight. So,
yeah,
I believe it. Have you been by the TCU Stadium at all before all this stuff went on to see the new look of it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whenever I came back in the off season, I know that they're still doing some construction. So, like, the glass in the, I think, the east side, like the Fisher side, it wasn't done yet. But they built, like, a whole new press box. They built, like, a bunch of stuff. They got a new Jumbotron in there, or I guess a big screen. But, I mean, it looked great. I was in Coach P's office when I first came back, just talking to him, catching up with him, and seeing how he's doing. And you can see the field from his office, like the game field. So I was just looking at it, and I was telling him, I was like, man, I know it sounds kind of cliche and all this stuff, but, you know, you've done a lot for this program and the 20-plus years that you've been here. And just looking at that, like, when I first got to TCU and I saw that field, like, it looked totally different than what it looks now. Yeah. And they didn't add a bunch of stuff to it, but, just the stuff that they did, it looked really nice. So, you know, just looking at a guy that, like that, that's built up a program and has done all that stuff, you know, it was just pretty cool. So, yeah. I have said it. Like, I wish I was a little younger. I could play in the stadium. but those other guys, Max Deegan's got it.
Yeah, man. That stadium looks completely different, man. I went to the first game against Arkansas Pine Bluff, and, man, dude, that stadium just looked completely different. But it looked like a bomb stadium. The Jumbotron, loud.
It was like a stadium that, like, you could play. I mean, it still has, like, a college feel to it, but it looks like a stadium that you could play in like an NFL game or something, because it's just so up to date. Everything is, like, they have, like, the ribbon and everything. They got the lights going. I don't know. It's far from your traditional football stadium in college.
Yeah. What would you say feels better? Because I've been to an NFL game before. I've been to, obviously, college games. I personally, like, if I'm there in the stadium, I think I want to be in a college stadium rather than an NFL stadium. Where do you, where do you side with that?
I guess I would say that it's the atmosphere. It's different. Mm-hmm. College is more boxed in. It's more close. I think, like, the feeling of, so, like, we had the frog walk. You can know the frog walk. The frog walk. And then, like, other teams have, like, the same kind of thing. So, like, there's, like, a buildup. There's, like, a school pride behind it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, the feeling of a college football game is different. I think in the NFL, it's still super exciting, and it's more exciting, but in a different way. You can tell in the fans too, like in the fans, like for like college games, like the fans will, like, you know, I mean, I'm going to talk down my fans right now, but they'll like curse at you. They'll talk down on you. They'll try and do everything to get you out of your game, which, I mean, you want those kind of fans. Because, you know, they help your team. You want them to get in the opposing team's head. But, like, in the NFL, like, them fans are different. Like, them fans are different, man. Like different. Like the Steelers fans, like that was probably the best fan base that I've seen in an away game. But like a whole entire like NFL atmosphere, like you know it's the NFL. Just like a different atmosphere behind it. It's more businesslike. It's more you know, pretty cut and dry. I'm used to playing the Big 12 where it's fast paced. There's no huddles, you know. I would say that the NFL game is a little different and is longer because the TV timeouts and stuff, which is a little different. But I guess my personal opinion, though, those college stadiums, man, those atmospheres are different. And I think that's probably what wins the edge over the NFL because there's more teams. There's more, you know, venues to go to. There's school pride that gets tied into it. So I think the best stadium that I've played in outside of the Carter would probably be DKR up in Norman and in Stillwater.
Yeah, those Sooners and those Cowboys, man, they're passionate about their football as well, definitely.
And I would say too. You would think. You wouldn't think, but man, I thought it was just corn up in there, but nah, they have a lot of people in Iowa that love football. That's cool when they say, oh yeah, we're going to Ames, Iowa to play. I'm like, oh, Ames, Iowa. This game about to be empty. But we walked out and I saw so many crimson and yellow. I was like, what the heck is going on? The whole entire state was in that stadium. It was crazy.
Yeah, man. Hey, we're going to be heading to the stadium. Where's the charter bus? There's no charter bus. Getting these horses.
For real, man. It was wild. But, you know, it sucked that we lost the game. I think we lost like 14-7. We didn't score an offensive touchdown that game. It was tough. I think we were ranked number 4.
But, yeah, that was tough.
That atmosphere was awesome, though. Props to Iowa State because I did not expect it. I thought it was going to be one of those, like, you know, you can hear your mom in the stands because it's so quiet. But no, they had a lot of people coming out, and it was definitely a cool atmosphere.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, it's been great talking with you, man. Ben Banigou, my special guest today, Colts defensive end. That will wrap up the podcast, guys. Make sure to follow him on Twitter. He already said he's not big on social media, but hey, if you want to follow him, just follow him. Go ahead. I follow all Colts players anyway. Make sure to follow me at Underdog Sports 4. I am your host, Michael Terrazas. Ben, thank you again for spending the time on the show. Thank you for your patience. And have a good day, man.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, for having me on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. All of y'all stay safe out there. God bless. Have a good day.
Yep.